or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it over until morning, but whatever is left of it until morning you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and woman. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Be on. I'm on. Yep, there I'm on. I thought I was on. Happy New Year. One more new year to live for the Lord's glory. We talked in Sunday school about Jan Markell has done a wrap-up of 2016 of major events that she sees as prophetic road signs that Jesus is coming soon. I've got a few more of these up here if you'd like one. I've culled this out and put it all together in a handout. I think it's very informative. And I don't know about you, but when I read through this, it makes me want to pray even more because our country is in such horrible shape. Today is the day that many, today's the first of 2017. And I don't know if you're anything like me, you've made a several New Year's resolutions. You're not going to eat all the junk. Whitmore made his this morning. No more donuts. And he says, I did. No, I did not. His mother made it for him. Some of you are going to make resolutions to quit eating certain things, quit drinking beverages, certain Cokes or maybe alcohol. I don't know what it might be. For others, you're gonna buckle down. You're going to start exercising. Fred's starting today. Chris is dragging him down to the Buffalo to go hiking. Getting back in shape, staying physically fit, that may be your resolution. For others, it may be that this year, you're going to pick up a Bible reading guide off the table out here, and you're going to read through the Bible every day this year. Derek and Todd helped me a few days ago with a little project I had, and Todd said to me, "So, Pastor, do you read through the Bible? Have you ever read through the Bible?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I do it every year." He said, "No, get out of here. You don't." I said, "Yeah, I do. In fact, Derek, you might take one of these for Todd. That might be his New Year's resolution. He's not here today, so we can pick on him. Take one of these and tell Todd, this is what Pastor uses to read through the Bible every year." He was just amazed that someone would actually do that. But I would say to you, if we're not reading through the Bible every day, we're not spiritually nourished. We aren't being empowered to do the work that God has called us to do. This morning, I want to focus on becoming more godly in 2017. What is New Year's truly about from God's perspective, from God's point of view? What does God want us to do this new year? Same thing we should have been doing last year, but we'll just reinforce it this morning and see if we can get on track for 2017 for the glory of God. I'd like for us to answer this question from the story in Exodus chapter 12. It's in 11. It's Moses is given instructions in 11 by God, then he carries them out in 12, which records the time when God instituted a new year for the people of Israel. He changed their new year. God intervened in Israel's history and started a new year. The story is recorded in Exodus 12, the scripture that was read for us this morning. I'd like to invite you to open your Bible, if you haven't already done so, to Exodus 12 and follow along as we look at God's new year. What does God want us to learn from this passage? God's New Year celebration is far different from the world's celebrations that took place in cities all over the world last night. I was sleeping soundly. I think I just got to sleep about 11:30. And 12 o'clock, I heard my little dog was barking and screaming and hollering. About the same time, I heard all the explosions out at Johnny Morrisville. He lit up the lake out there for about 10 or 15 minutes with fireworks. As we get older, we don't really appreciate those as much. When we're younger, I guess we'd be right down there in it and toasting the new year. But last night, I was toasting my sleep, and I finally fell back asleep. But anyway, in Exodus 12, in verse 2, God instructed Moses, and it happened to be in the seventh month of their year, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first months of the year for you." Now, this is strange because God is giving them this instruction in the seventh month of their calendar. It was the seventh month. And God said, everything up to this point, forget it. I'm giving you from this day forward, we're starting a brand new month. This shall be the first month for you from now on. God, in his infinite sovereign and will, commanded Moses in the seventh month to change Israel's calendar and make this month, he says, the beginning of months for you, the beginning of the year. God changed April from the seventh month to the first year of Israel's calendar. The obvious question is, why did God change Israel's new year? What is the significance behind this divine change in Israel's new year? What can we learn from this passage in Exodus 12 that can help us live more godly this new year, 2017? Well, first thing we learn is this change had something to do with redemption. It brought about a time of redemption. It's the first thing we learn from this passage. God's new year provided his people Israel with redemption. This new year revision was to commemorate Israel's deliverance from bondage in Egypt. The nation Israel had been in Egypt under bondage for some 400 years. Some accounts say 400, others say 430. But anyway, according to Genesis 46:11, Jacob had entered Egypt with 70 persons at all. You remember Joseph was down in Egypt, and God took them down to Egypt. And according to Genesis 38 and 39, the reason God had to take the Israelites down to Egypt is because they were being totally perverted with the Canaanites back up in Judah. So God took them to Egypt, took them to Goshen, 70 in all, and they grew to a mighty company at this time of close to anywhere from 1 million to 2 million people. We read in Exodus 1 that a new king or pharaoh arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. This new pharaoh afflicted the sons of Israel and placed them under cruel bondage. The Lord raised up Moses to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage in fulfillment of the promise that he made to Abraham back in Genesis 15, 3 and 4. Do you remember that in Genesis 15 where God made a covenant with Abraham that through his seed all the peoples of the earth would be blessed and that Abraham's descendants would become a mighty nation, which God fulfilled? And God also told Abraham that after you die, your descendants are going to go down into Egypt, and there they will be in bondage for 400 years. But at the end of that time, I will bring them out. So that's what's going on here right now. The 400 years have run their course. The children of Israel had been in bondage 430 years, according to Exodus 12:41, and God now is going to lead them out of Egypt. God sent Moses to Pharaoh with a command to release his people from bondage, but Pharaoh refused. God inflicted Egypt with a series of severe plagues, but Pharaoh repeatedly hardened his heart and refused to let God's people go. This brings us to Exodus 12 and God's 10th and final plague against Egypt. We read in Exodus 11:1, that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron to announce his final plague to Pharaoh. And in verse 4 of chapter 11, Moses said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I'm going out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn throughout the land of Egypt shall die, both of man and beast. This judgment from God was to be upon the Egyptians and not the children of Israel. In chapter 12 of Exodus now, God reveals to Moses and Aaron how they were to be delivered from this divine judgment. In verse 3 of chapter 12, God commands Moses to have the people of Israel take a lamb or a goat on the 10th day of the month. Verse 5, the lamb or goat had to be unblemished, male, a year old. Verse 6, they were to keep this lamb or goat for 4 days. On the 14th day of the month, all the people of Israel were to kill it at about twilight. Perhaps the reason that they were to keep it for 4 days was in order to examine it to be certain that it was unblemished. Later rabbis continued to add, well, you know, if it has a spot or if it has a little tumor, if it has this, if it has a bad eye, if it has a bad ear, they added 73 blemishes that a male lamb or goat could possibly have, 73. And by the time of Jesus Christ, when you would travel up to Jerusalem to offer up your sacrifice before the Lord, you just might as well know, if don't even bother bringing your lamb or goat from home. Because when you got there and you brought it into the temple precincts, they would find something wrong with it. They would buy your lamb or goat off of you and sell you one of theirs for a much higher price. What would they do with your lamb or goat? They would take it right around, put it right back in the fold. That's what was going on by the time of Christ. But all this started back here, and all of this, as we're going to see, is a picture of the coming Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Lamb of God. God goes on in verse 7, and he says, after you've killed your lamb at twilight between 3 to 5 p.m., verse 7, moreover, you shall collect some of the blood from the slain animal and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which you eat the lamb. Drop down to verse 13. God says, when I pass over Egypt in judgment, I will see the blood on your doorposts and on your lintel. I will see the blood covering your house, and I will pass over your house, and the plague will not harm you when I strike the land of Egypt. So why is this feast called Passover? Because when God came through the land to kill all the firstborn, the Israelites would be immune if they followed the instructions, killed the lamb, followed God's instructions, put the blood on the doorpost, and stayed inside. The death angel would pass over them. Passover on the first month of the year was the commencement of Israel's great deliverance, their redemption, if you will, from bondage. The Jews' redemption from death that night, the night God passed over the houses covered in blood, became for them redemption from bondage and death. God's revision of Israel's calendar was to commemorate Israel's redemption. God's new year is a time of redemption. God's redemption for his people, Israel, from Egyptian bondage and death serves as the backdrop for the redemption Jesus Christ has provided for you and I as believers. What a beautiful picture. Everything that took place in the Old Testament was written for what? It was written for us, that we might learn, that we might know what God has done for us. And this is one of the greatest pictures in the Old Testament, I believe, of what God was going to provide for us by way of Jesus becoming our Passover lamb. When God looks at you and when God looks at me today, if I have Christ in my life, I'm covered with his shed blood. And God sees me as one of his perfect children through faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus has provided us believers with salvation by becoming the Passover lamb. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Christ our Passover was slain for us. Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb, and he was put to death for us. The correlation of Christ as our Passover lamb with Israel's Passover experience in Exodus 12, I don't know about you, but it's just absolutely remarkable to me. Israel's deliverance from bondage and death, as the angel of the Lord passed over Egypt, killing all the firstborn of man and beast, looked forward to the redemption from bondage and death that the Lord Jesus Christ would provide through his death on Calvary's cross. Jesus is our Passover lamb. John the Baptist, you recall, when he first saw Jesus coming, John the Baptist saw Christ coming, and what did he do? He pointed to him, and what did he say to all those that were around? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There he is. Here he is, the Lamb of God. And I love that. First John, as you read the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John introduces Christ as the Lamb of God. The next day, Jesus comes to him and says, you need to baptize me. And he said, you're God Almighty. I'm not going to baptize you. And Jesus said, it is necessary in order that we fulfill all the law. Jesus was sinless. He didn't need to be baptized to announce that he was looking forward to his own coming. But he did it to symbolize the death, burial, and resurrection that he was going to provide. So John baptizes Jesus Christ. And I love what happened when he brought him up out of the water, which speaks of immersion, by the way. When he brought him up out of the water, what happened to John? What did John experience? The heavens were opened, and a booming voice, the voice of God, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then the Holy Spirit came and descended on Jesus like a dove. Peter reminds us that we are not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 19. Jesus Christ, my friends, is our Passover lamb. The sinless Son of God offered up himself to be our Passover lamb. The good news for you and I this New Year's morning, I believe, is that Jesus is our Passover lamb. He died in our place. He is our substitutionary lamb. He is our substitutionary atonement. He is the payment for our sin. He bore the penalty of our sin on that cross. He paid the debt that we could never pay. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he, referring to God the Father, made him, referring to Christ the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Jesus' death in our place has provided deliverance from bondage to sin and deliverance from the penalty of eternal death, which our sin so justly deserves. That's something to celebrate for New Year's, my friends. That's something to rejoice in and to go and tell others about. As we begin a new year, I encourage each of you to recommit your life to God this morning. Ask God to forgive you for not spending time in his word every day. Make a New Year's resolution to love and serve him every day. Pick up a Bible reading guide, or just get into each book. Get in there somewhere and read it every day. Spend some time in a couple three books. I had a friend at seminary he could read really fast. And he was in the doctoral program, and he would read through whole books when I was working on a chapter. He'd just sit down and just speed through entire books. But however you do it, just do it. Begin spending time every day with God this new year. If you're here this morning and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your Savior, then we would encourage you to receive Christ this morning. Begin 2017 on a solid foundation. Begin 2017 with Christ as your Savior. Just as the Israelites had to take the blood of the Lamb and in faith apply it to their doorposts of their homes, so the blood of Jesus Christ, our Passover, must be applied to our sinful hearts by faith. We must receive Jesus as our personal Savior. When we come to realize that Christ Jesus died in our place and trust him as our Savior, then the blood of Christ washes us, it cleanses us from sin and condemnation. This is a miracle of God, and I for one, am so thankful for it. I'll never forget when Pastor Joe came out to our house some 40 years ago and led us through the four spiritual laws, and he got to the punchline of asking us if we wanted to pray to receive Christ, He got through the part that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and you need Jesus Christ. He is God's only remedy for sin. And then he kind of turned to me and he said, he was sitting next to me on the couch, he said, "Do you believe you're a sinner?" And I said, "Pastor Joe, are you serious? Man, I got a tuna boatload of sin, and I've been wanting to know what to do with it. I've been running and hiding from God for 25 years. And he said, "Well, the good news for you this evening is Christ Jesus died in your place. You can be washed and cleansed of your sin." And I thought, wow, I didn't understand it, but I believed it. And he said, "And the second great thing I have to say to you is the minute that you pray with me to receive Christ as your Savior, you receive eternal life." Oh, I said, "Man, where do I sign up? Forgiveness of sin, eternal life, possessed by God, living in me by His Spirit?" That was fantastic news. After Pastor Joe left, I ran to the kitchen and got out the whiskey, not to celebrate, but to dump it down the sink. I am free. I'm liberated. Finally, I'm liberated. And I was liberated that night. God's new year not only provides redemption from bondage, it also provides refreshment. Verses 8 to 10, a time of refreshment. Verse 8, "And they shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs." After each family killed their Passover lamb and applied the blood to the doorposts and the lintels of their houses, they were to eat their lamb or their little goat. Read on, verse 9. "They were not to eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather it had to be roasted with fire, both its head, its legs, along with all of its entrails." I never did quite understand that. With all of its guts? Yuck. Anyway, "They were strictly forbidden," in verse 10, "not to leave any left over until morning, but whatever is left of it until the morning, you shall burn it with fire. The people were commanded to eat all of the sacrifice. If the lamb was too large for one family, then they were to share it with their neighbor next door or across the way. Their nearest neighbor, they were to join with them, either go to their house or come to my house, and we'll put the blood on here, we'll all stay in here, we'll share this meal together, the Passover meal." Verse 4. The Passover meal was designed to provide the people of Israel with nourishment. They would need nourishment, because this very night, they're going to be driven in haste out of the land by Pharaoh, who says, "Get up and get out." And they're going to need some strength for this journey that they're about to begin. In addition, the Passover meal provides a time of fellowship. If your family's too small, get your neighbor. Get a house full, get around this table, and enjoy the Lord's Passover. Enjoy this feast. As Christians, we can experience spiritual refreshment by spending time with Christ. Do you spend time in God's Word every day? How's your prayer life doing? Do you spend time asking God for stuff all the time? Or do you start just by going before Him and adoring Him? As somebody said in Sunday school this morning, we need to review what God has done for us in 2016 and give Him thanks for it. Repeatedly give Him thanks. I thank Him nearly every day for healing my back. I was down and out in terrible suffering. So you have a couple options. You can take pain pills, which I had to take a couple to get up here and preach on Sunday. But just as quick as I could, I quit taking them. I still have a big jug, but don't ask me for them. Might need them in the future. Never know. I don't like them. I don't like to take them. And God helped me to be healed and to get on. And I thank Him every day for that. He did so many wonderful things for me this past year. And I, if not on a daily basis, I routinely review what He's done for me this past year and of course, across the course of my Christian life. He is to be praised for who He is and what He does in our lives. It makes me think about the fact that the only way to grow spiritually and to enjoy spiritual refreshment that God wants to give us, He wants to give us joy and peace and contentment. The only way we're ever going to get that is to spend time with Him. We have to spend time in His Word, time in His presence. There's no shortcuts to spiritual maturity and blessings that God gives to those who seek Him. God's New Year Passover celebration provided redemption and refreshment, but it also called for readiness. Verse 11, Now you shall eat it in this manner. This is how you're to eat. See if you eat like this sometimes. Maybe if we're out camping, we might. I don't know, but see. Verse 11, you shall eat in this manner. This is how they're to take of their Passover feast. With your loins girded up, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. I saw a staff out here. It's not mine. I know, Bill, I know. This is very sad. But just, when's the last time you showed up for dinner? I think most of us have our clothes on. In fact, on the tuna boats, most cooks had a rule, even though it was 110 degrees, you come in this, you step in this galley, you better have a shirt on. You better be properly clothed. You need to have a shirt on. If you don't, get out. And some cooks were a little more forceful on that. Anyway, here's the picture. The Passover dinner, fully suited up, shoes on, our clothes packed and ready, and our staff in our hand, then we're to eat. Be prepared. Be ready to move out is the picture. The Israelites were to eat the Lord's Passover in a spirit of readiness. The angel of the Lord struck down every firstborn in Egypt of both man and beast at around midnight, verse 29. We read in verse 39 of chapter 12, Pharaoh arose in the midst of the night, screamed out when he saw the death of his own firstborn son, which had been pronounced against him. He immediately called for Moses and Aaron, commanded them to rise up and take the people of Israel and their flocks and get out. Get out of Egypt. So verse 34, the people took up their unleavened dough, their kneading bowls, and put them up their clothes upon their shoulders, and they headed out of Egypt. By way of application for you and I, God wants us believers to be ready to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to follow his will for our lives. When was the last time that you shared your faith with someone? That you shared what God has done for you by saving your soul? That's what we're to be about. We're to be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people. As we reflect on the price that Christ paid to redeem us from sin and death, his death on that cross and the punishment that he endured that led up to it, we should certainly be willing to serve him. God wants us to seek him and the plan that he has for each of our lives. Did you know that God has a plan for each and every one of your lives? And he places us in different situations at different times to be his witness, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people who desperately need to hear it. As we begin this new year, as we close here in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to rededicate your lives to God. Ask him to show you what he has for you to do for his glory this new year and start doing it. God's New Year Passover celebration provided redemption and refreshment. It called for readiness. And lastly, it calls for remembrance. Verse 14, it is a time of remembrance. Now this day shall be a memorial to you, verse 14, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. God's New Year Passover was to serve as a memorial, as a celebration, as a feast of thanksgiving to the Lord, to be observed throughout Israel for all generations. The people were commanded to observe this Passover meal as a perpetual celebration for them and their children forever, verse 24. Israel's New Year continues to serve as a reminder of the great deliverance God provided from their cruel bondage in Egypt. Each successive generation was and is to explain the meaning of God's Passover to their children. We read in verse 26 of chapter 12. In the future, when your children ask you, what does this celebration mean to you? What is this all about? You are to tell them, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, but he spared our homes. And by sparing their homes, meaning he spared our lives. The Passover meal is to serve as a perpetual reminder of how God delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. As believers, we commemorate the deliverance that Christ has provided by us by regularly partaking of the Lord's Supper. We commemorate Christ's death for our sin and look forward with anticipation for his return for us. I don't know about you, but are you hoping and praying that 2017 we'll hear the trumpet blast and Jesus say, "Come up here, my beloved"? I'm looking forward to that. And I know some of you would say, "Well, we aren't going to get out of here that easy." Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But the point being, 2017 is another new year God has given us to live for his glory and to share him with people who need to hear about him. May each of us give thanks to God for this new year and commit ourselves afresh to spend daily time with him in his word and in prayer. I'm convinced that many Christians are suffering in their lives because they do not spend time daily with God in prayer. God wants this new year, 2017, to be a time of spiritual refreshment for you and I, brothers and sisters. God wants to provide refreshing to our souls. Are you experiencing God's peace and joy in your soul? The only way to experience the peace and joy of God is to spend time in his presence. Again, some of these things are repetitious, but that's what a preacher preaches, because we don't seem to get it. So I preach it to myself, and then I come and I preach it to you. And my wife always says, "How are you doing with that, preacher?" if it's something that I need a little help with. I know most of you know I used to get very angry when somebody would cut me off, and I wanted to catch up with them and tell them off, you know. But with road rage anymore, I don't think that's such a good idea. I see people on the nightly news that get cut off, and they just get shot all the time. So if you got road rage, just slow down, let them go, and just trust it to the Lord. The only way to experience the peace and joy of God is to spend time in his presence. We have to spend time in his word. We have to bow before him in prayer. As we close, we're going to have the Lord's Supper. But as we close after taking the Lord's Supper together, I'm going to ask you to ask God to refresh and renew your fellowship with Jesus Christ this new year. If the men would come forward, we're going to pass out the elements. And we'd ask you to hold the elements until we all have them. Then the men will come forward and I'll take the elements, and then we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and look at Paul's instructions that he says he received directly from Jesus Christ concerning the Lord's Supper. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, think of the picture that the Passover commemorated. What started in Exodus 12, we are celebrating here this morning.
Right.
The instructions for partaking in the Lord's Supper, of course, Jesus gave in the Gospels. On the night he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples around his table. And after he had finished supper, he instituted the Lord's Supper, a time of commemoration, a time of remembrance of what Christ has done for us. The Apostle Paul records instructions for the Corinthian believers, and by way of extension, for you and I, in 1 Corinthians 11. Beginning in verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he reached out and took a loaf of bread off the table, and he gave thanks to the Father, and then he broke it, and he passed it out. And he said to his disciples, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In verse 25, in the same way, Paul says, "He took the cup also off of the table after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So not only do we proclaim that Jesus is our Passover lamb that died for us 2,000 years ago, but he has promised, John 14, verses 1 to 3, that he returned to Father's house, he's preparing a mansion for each of you, and he's coming back to receive us unto himself, that where he is, we may be also. Maybe 2017 will be the year that he comes back for us. But until he comes for us, let's stay busy for him. Let's keep spending time in his presence each day and praying for opportunities to share him with people who desperately need to hear the good news that we have that we can share. Join me in a closing word of prayer, if you would. Father, we thank you for another new year. Forgive us, Lord, for not walking with you as closely as we should, for not spending the time in your word and in prayer that we should be spending. May your Holy Spirit help us from this day to make a resolution to spend time in your word and in prayer every day of this new year. And as we do, may you be pleased to refresh our souls, Father. Help us to grow in godliness as we spend time in your presence by daily studying your word and communing with you in prayer. Help us to pray for opportunities to share Jesus Christ with someone on a regular basis. That's our prayer this morning, Father, and Holy Spirit, as you are here in us and among us, if there would be anybody here this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, then Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you would go to work on their heart, open their ears, their eyes, open their mind, help them to take that which they've heard here this morning about the Passover, Jesus our Passover Lamb, and invite him to come into your heart right now if you've never done so. Begin 2017 as a born-again Christian. You can just pray a simple prayer right where you sit. Jesus, I believe that you came and died on that cross 2,000 years ago. I believe that you are the sinless Son of God that shed your blood as my covering, as my Passover. I thank you that by receiving you, inviting you to come into my heart right now, that I will be passed over in any future judgment. Thank you for that. I ask that you would take my life and help it to truly begin to shine for you. Help me to learn about you, to grow in your word. Help me to get together with other Christians who've been at this journey for a while and learn from them that I might be the person that you want me to be. Thank you for dying for me and saving me, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. For the rest of us, Father, we pray that you might be pleased to stir up our hearts. Refresh us spiritually, I pray, and help us to leave this place just renewed in our spirit, renewed in our commitment to spend time with you every day. And in so doing, then we will experience your peace, joy, and contentment in our daily lives. Help us over whatever problems we might be facing. May everything that we face, may we resolve it and strive to resolve it for your glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together with me? May this year, 2017, be the year of our deliverance. May Jesus come and may that trumpet blow on the up in the heavens, and may we all be caught up, changed, and transformed, as Paul says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, 1/30,000th of a second. But until then, let's stay busy for the Lord, loving Him, loving one another, and striving to serve Him in our daily lives. May you go and be blessed. May God cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. And there